Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, let's see. Well, I don't have the opening because I'm not on my computer tonight. So here you go, something like welcome to Mucho at Midnight. So up there, okay, you got it. It is Mucho at Midnight. I am Mucho Sasquatch, your genial host. Thank you for listening this evening. I am a part of the withinsightsradio.com network. And if you go to withinsightsradio.com, you will find all the other programs we are responsible for. You also find, well, I hope, I think I've been told you can find this, a button you can press to make a small contribution to our efforts. This is a listener-supported radio. We're not making buku bucks off of it. We're just trying to get enough to pay for the hosting with Blog Talk Radio and so forth. So if you would be so kind as to make a visit and drop a little in the offering plate, we would be most thankful. So now that all that's done, I have still not reached the decision that I was trying to reach as I took that time there. There's something I want to discuss, and I'm not sure whether it should be at the beginning of the show or the end of the show. I was hoping Spirit would inspire me, but Spirit's kind of, I guess, saying, you're on your own, kid, on this one. So I think I'm going to put it first. We lost a member of our circle earlier this week. A lady named Deb Tannenbaum passed away. Very suddenly, very unexpectedly. And of course, that turns one's mind in all sorts of directions. I attended a memorial service for her on Wednesday. We had a memorial drum circle for her at the Shrum Mound here in my large city in the Midwest, Columbus, Ohio. The Shrum Mound is in Edina, a Native American mound, an ancient earthwork that has somehow managed to survive in the middle of the city. It was on somebody's land, and they loved it, and they protected it. It sits on the edge of a quarry, so there's a nice view from the top of the mound. We did our service at the base of the mound because it's just the top of the mound is kind of cramped and kind of perilous, really, if you get too many people up there. But down at the base, it's just fine. We put out blankets and sang songs, played drums, and danced in honor of our friend, who can dance now. She never could before. She had some health problems, which I guess the presumption is that had something to do with her passing, although we really don't know. I was more upset by this than I really thought I was going to be. Deb wasn't someone I saw every day, maybe every few months. I used to see her a lot more when Iggy's restaurant was still open. Since I don't know that I've seen her at all since it closed. Closed isn't the way we're well anyway. I don't want to get distracted. She was a Facebook friend, and I would see her posts there, and occasionally I'd make a comment on one of her posts, or she'd make a comment on one of mine. I remember that the times that I had seen her, she would seek me out, you know, especially times when I was sitting by myself, which is a lot of the time. I'll just find a spot while everybody else is having fun, and I'll just sit in the chair and outside of the circle and kind of watch. And Deb was not one to let that happen. She would come over and talk to me, and we would talk for a long time. And she talked about what she was doing, I talked about what I was doing. And you know, when it came, like, we were all talking about Deb at the drum circle, at the memorial drum circle. And when it came my time, you know, all I could really think of to say was that she listened to me and that she cared. And that thought brought tears to my eyes. Yeah, I really did not think that this was going to be an emotional experience for me, but it was. And we don't think about the people who surround us all the time could be gone. Every time, each time we see them could be the last time. And I know it's difficult to walk around with that thought in your head. You know, it's could be the last time I see all these people. But maybe not in that specific sense. You know, I have to, at each and every moment, I have to remember this is the last time I'm going to see these people. More in a general sense, to remember to treat people, to not take people for granted. I feel that I took Deb for granted, you know, because there were times I thought, well, I should go see, because I haven't seen her for a while. I should give her a call, and we should, you know, meet up, and then we can talk, you know. And, I should write her a post or something on Facebook, you know, get a conversation going that way, but never did it, and it's too late now. And that's, I got to say that that's on me. Because I never gave her any indication that I would be receptive to that sort of thing, and I certainly would have been. And I thought of her as someone that I might ask out. And of course, I thought of a million excuses not to, which is what I do whenever that happens. And this is the first time I'm telling anybody this, by the way, so don't tell anybody else. So there is a sense of what might have been. And I experienced that with a lot of things in my life. So this, you know, outside of the effect, you know, Deb is, I like to believe that this, on balance, this is a good thing for her. She's moved on to whatever's next. And I see that as nothing but good for her. Although I'm certainly not in a terrific position to be able to judge that, but certainly it always I think comes back to us, because that's it makes it easier for us to think that I sincerely believe that that she has moved on and it's going to be better for her than it was here. At the same time, I recognize that that belief serves a need in me and in all of us, to believe that to this person that we love and who has gone on to something better and isn't just gone. Because that would be rough to take. That would be tough to rationalize how that sort of thing would happen. So anyway, we said our goodbyes to Deb. I posted some pictures that I had of her taken 5 years ago at Iggy's birthday party. She had brought her flute to a drum circle. The pictures came out not so good. I didn't have enough light. Iggy's restaurant sort of eats light. You can't get, it doesn't matter how many lights you turn on, it all just seems like it's a cave in there. So I couldn't... you know, I wish the pictures were better, but they are what I had to share, so I shared them. And I think that's all that I want to say on that topic. So, it's difficult for me to break away from it. Let's look at Shaman Tarot. Why not? How should I do this? Oh, by the way, I'm on the phone. You probably noticed I'm on the phone already, but I'll tell you, I'm on the phone. So I can't take calls. I can't do the chat room, and I can't look at Facebook posts. So if you're frantically Facebook posting me right now, I'm sorry about that, but I don't have my computer in front of me, so I can't see it. I certainly should have shuffled the cards before I went on the air, because I only have one hand now, and it makes it very difficult to do it. I'm trying to do this, and it's not going to work. Okay. This one time, usually I shuffle the cards three times and then I take the top card. But this one time, I'm just going to cut the cards three times because I only have one hand. And then we'll see where we're at. To do, that's two. Oh, that wants to get away from me. And there's three. Let's look at this. Okay, we have a one of drums. Consult the oracle here to tell us what that means. One of drums, or the ace, excuse me, it's an ace. They're showing you number one, but never mind. The drum of the dance. Life is vibration and movement. Material affluence, health, the joy of existence, sensuality. I guess I can hook up experience of recent days with life as vibration and movement. As we did that drum circle on Wednesday, and that's what a lot of the talk was about the vibration and the life that Deb had brought to us and what we were feeling from her. The rest of it, material affluence, health, the joy of existence, sensuality. Not feeling those. Not feeling those tonight. I guess maybe the joy of existence, if you want to twist that a little bit, the sort of the bittersweet joy of existence, because there's certainly a joy to the memorial service. And there's a joy to looking at all of the pictures and reading all the posts that had to do with Deb. And there's also a joy, it's kind of shifting gears. I work at this job grading standardized tests. And I'm not a fan of standardized tests, so from the beginning I have a problem with doing this job. But it's a job, and if I don't do it, someone else will. So it's not hurting anybody beyond the... Well, anyway, don't want to get into that whole discussion. The way it works is I will typically grade one test item. And it's an essay, and I got to read it and pick out the keywords, the bullet points, that will get them anywhere from 1 to 4 points. And you go through these. They go by on a computer screen, and you read 800, maybe 900 of them a day. And you start to form a relationship with this question because it's what you see every day, day in, day out, 800, 900 times. And at first you start, I got to stop with the ands. You guys have to hold me accountable on that. I need to break out my sentences. I can break out my sentences to separate thoughts and not put ands in between unless they're absolutely necessary. So what were they talking about? Oh, doing the papers, they go by, and at first you train on it. You work with the supervisors and learn what the keywords are and all that. And you pass your little test, and then you can start scoring. And there's an excitement to it because it's new. And then it's sort of like a marriage. It's kind of excitement to it, and then you start to get kind of bored with it, and you get sort of annoyed with it. Finally, you just, I can't stand this anymore. This is my experience with marriage. I'm sure other people have had better experiences, but with this one thing, this one question, day after day for 4 or 5 weeks, and you start to reach the end of it. It's just, this week we are reaching the end of this cycle, and I'm going to be off for a couple weeks, and I'm going to come back and do another question. This question is just totally under my skin, on my nerves. I can't believe I have to go back today and face this question again for 7 hours. Well, today was the last day, and you know they count down. The scoring director, the guy who runs there, there's like 60, 70 people in this room scoring, not all the same question, but different questions. And he's counting them down, you know, how many of each one we have left. And you're watching your question sort of dwindle away, and you're realizing, I'm never going to see this question again. And in all of my sort of complaining about having to do this question, there's all that fun that comes out of it. There's some fun that comes out of digging into a student response and finding the keywords, finding the points for them. The students often write humorous responses. You know, if they don't know, well, sometimes if they do know what the question is, sometimes if they don't, they'll write something that'll make you laugh. And I just feel kind of bad about that because they're depending on these points to get out of school. Actually, this particular test, I mean, that's not the case. It's the seventh grade test. When I come back in June, I'm going to be doing the graduation test, and that's a little bit more sort of nerve-wracking for me because you're talking about whether somebody graduates from high school or not, based on whether I can find points for them, where they've given me points to find. Try and put it that way too, and then the whole process is patently ridiculous. Anyway, we don't want to get into that right now. I'm trying to somehow awkwardly make this link between the death experience I just had and the listening, the doing of the question for the last time, and this drum card that's come up, which I never described for you, did I? The Ace of Drums, it's a ceremonial drum, a flat drum with some leather strips decorating it, and two hands holding it, and a striker. And this is framed against some evergreen trees and a kind of yellowish sky. So there's no modern elements to this. I don't see him wearing a wristwatch or anything. This is an all primitive and all ancient representation. It's just a drum. It's a drum and somebody holding it and drumming, and they're in a natural setting. So what clues does that give us? Not a lot. I think this may be the first. I wanted my instinct is to call it a dud. Obviously, it's not a dud. It has, I have to have at least a little something tell us. I am just not able to hook it up with my recent experience, especially sensuality. Not a lot of sensuality in my life these days. Wish there was. I like sensuality. Anyway, I guess unless you count eating, I've had some good food this week. I ate a grilled calamari tonight. I have all this food piling up in my apartment because I bring the leftovers home. Plus, I've been to the grocery store and stocked my kitchen. But I guess that's another sort of side effect of this job, is I get done with it and I live. It's a good 20, 25 minute drive back to my apartment. And I just, heck with it. I'm just going to go someplace and eat. And I have a little cash in my pocket, so I'm able to do it. But that's going to have to change here shortly because, again, I'm only going to be working for a few more weeks. And until I find something else to do, the green is going to be a little bit scarce. But Spirit will show the way, I'm sure. I'm suffering from an appalling lack of words. Maybe I used them all up because I wrote my blog. I hadn't written my blog in over a month. I wrote twice in my blog. I wrote today and I wrote on Monday. And I wrote a story about I'm anding again. You've stopped me. You've got to hold me accountable. I didn't make it. Stop me from anding. I wrote in... on Monday about, it was part of it was about being a reader and then kind of went back earlier than that. I've always been thought of as a skilled reader, and that's very much a part of my identity. And then when I got to this job, there are a lot of skilled readers. And I found myself in the middle of a group where I was actually one of the least skilled readers. And I was trying to figure out, have I lost it? Am I just old now? Or is it just that I'm in with this peer group now that I've never been in with this kind of quality before? And I managed, damn it, no more ending. I managed to find kind of a cute semi-twist ending. I won't take credit for a full-on Rod Serling, Alfred Hitchcock kind of twist ending. But it is sort of a little bit of a funny twist ending. So I want to make you go to the website, that's MudToastSasquatch.com, and see it there. And it's not even the most recent one. You'll have to go back a page, but it's not. It's a WordPress blog. It's not difficult to navigate. And the reason it's not first is I added a new blog entry today. I was going through the blog entries trying to steal some text because I'm cranking up work on the book again. And what can I find in here that can help me out with the book? I found some text that I've written fairly recently, and it wasn't even a blog entry or even a paragraph. There's just a sentence I'd written, a request for prayers for this person I had met, a young lady, and she had two blackened eyes, both of her eyes. Someone, according to her own story, her boyfriend had beaten her up and dumped her out of the car, and she was hungry. She hadn't eaten for some time. I was very much on the horns of a dilemma because one never knows when one hears those kind of stories if they're accurate or if, you know, someone's telling you a story. The decision I made was to go ahead and spend a few bucks, give her a little bit of food at Arby's, and this seemed to, I ended again, this seemed to, that end might actually be needed. Sometimes it's difficult to, you ever try to make a flow of ideas, but I say, I go, because I've been conscious of listening to myself on the show. I've noticed that my show is like sometimes one long sentence, just held together by ands and an occasional but. So that's what I'm trying to combat. I don't need to get rid of ands altogether. I just need to sort of corral them and use them where they're actually needed. This young lady was visiting town from out of state and just didn't have anybody to help her. I bought her some potato bites and a soda, I think, and she was very happy with that. So I'd written this sentence, just one sentence post on Facebook, asking for prayers for the young lady I had met that day. I didn't, you know, and I said, I don't know if her story is true or not, but I wish her a safe return home. That's what I pray. I remember having prayed for that, a safe return home for her. And she pops up in my thoughts from time to time. And one never knows. You just never know if you've done the right thing. Did I do the right thing? Should I have done more? Should I have done less? And I saw that, and it made me want to tell the story because in just that sentence I hadn't, and you know, obviously wasn't able to tell the story in any sort of detail. So I took the time this afternoon because I got off of work early because we got all of our scoring done. I went to the library and sat down, and in the relative peace and quiet there, I turned that sentence into a brief story of between 400 and 500 words, sort of fleshed it out, and you know, in the way these stories go, kind of embellished it a little bit. I don't know about embellished. I don't know if I made the story bigger or more important than it was actually happened in life. I moved the location. I made it a bit more desperate. Because I'd met her at a perfectly nice Arby's restaurant in the suburbs. I moved the whole thing into kind of where I live now, the sort of downtown, the west side, not the nicest neighborhood. Just to kind of sort of match the mood of her story, I moved my story into her story. And so that's, I don't know if there's anything, I keep looking at my little book here to see if I'm getting any closer to the Ace of Drums. And no, not really. Nowhere in material affluence, health, the joy of existence, or sensuality. I guess it would be, could depend on how you define some of those things, like I've said before. I guess the important, if you want to talk about affluence, I had an affluence of words, of written words. I hadn't written anything for a while. And now I've had two posts, about 1,000 words, more words than I've had. So maybe we think of it in different ways, and maybe one thinks of sensuality as the description of the emotions that I had encountering that young lady and seeing, you know, I did again. I didn't know where or not to believe her story, but she certainly did have two black eyes. That happened somehow. Somebody did that. The sensuality of going back, experiencing the emotions of my childhood, as being praised for being a good reader. I don't remember receiving a lot of praise in my life. I tend to really remember the times when I've been praised. And people told me, you know, back when I was a kid, that I was a fast reader. That was absent of the sort of critical edge that was present whenever my mother or father, particularly my mother, would say anything. They would tend to say things like, yes, this is pretty fast, but you could go faster. And you also missed these couple of words here. You could, that's kind of a careless mistake. You could fix those too. You know, that would be how it would go. And not to unduly criticize them, they were doing, my mother especially, was doing what she thought was right. Teaching me the value of education, the value of getting things right. And that's carried with me to the present day. It's valuable information and a good attitude to have, I think. There are times, though, that I could have used some other things that my parents, again, particularly my mother, are just not equipped to give because of their own models for parenting sucked so much. Not particularly my father's. My father's mother, I guess, was a very nurturing lady, but she didn't live very long. Everybody else we're talking about is would have been seeing life from the bottom of a bottle. So it became very important, you know, that to my parents that they give me a better experience, raise me better than that, and they did. And they did the very best they could, and in the areas where they fell short, it's because they didn't know, not because they didn't care. So this show took a strange turn. Again, I want to say goodbye to Deb Tannenbaum, wherever she is now, doing good work, I'm sure. I hope you will come back next week. Probably be another telephone show, the way the schedule looks now. Sorry about that. I just don't have any internet in the apartment right now. I'm hoping that'll be the situation that's rectified soon. One more time, thank you for listening, tuning in this evening, and I will talk to you again next week. Bye now.